Okay, so the first session was the overview of the book of Matthew, just to help you to read through it in a different light, and just to pick up some of the key themes as you go through that. So now we will look at how these themes which I introduced, they all come together. Now, another very important aspect of Matthew is how Jesus is introduced. Now, Matthew ended where Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the time. I will be with you always. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, a virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, you remember Matthew ends with Jesus said, I am with you. Now Matthew starts after introducing the genealogy, he said, God is with us. Now that is how the New Testament begins. That's the first introduction, the first introduction of God in a time of 400 years of silence. So for 400 years there was no divine revelation. There was quietness, and then suddenly there's a new message, and it's a message of Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, the way Matthew wrote the book is linked between these two themes. At the end, Jesus said, I will be with you, and now Emmanuel, God is with us. And when Jesus makes disciples, there's a specific way in which Jesus makes his disciples, and that is, disciples are made when Jesus is not with them. And I will tell that, and I will show that to you right now. Four teaching points in the lives of the disciples was, their faith was revealed when Jesus was not with them. And that is a very important understanding. Every time disciples are on their own, they just make a mess of things. They just blew up everything. And that is very important to understand the importance of humans, how humans react when Jesus is not with them. So that is a very important aspect which we need to understand. And that is very clear in the book of Matthew. If you read it and you see these two very important things, Emmanuel in behold or lo or whatever you want to call it, Jesus said, I'm with you always. So how do we become disciples? Is the lesson which Matthew was one of the disciples. He went through the discipleship process himself, being taught by the master himself. And Jesus had a nickname for the disciples, and we will not pick it up. And the nickname is called Little Faith. Little Faith. Jesus always calls them Little Faith. Small Faith. And that's a specific one word. Either in Aramaic, which Jesus spoke, or in Jew. Hebrew, which Jesus spoke, or in the Greek, which Matthew wrote. It's a specific word Jesus called his disciples. And in four times, in the process of making them, he rebukes them for having little faith. And the challenge which Jesus wants to teach the people is to walk by faith. And every time he leaves them on their own, they just make a mess of things because they didn't have faith. So, as I said in the beginning, the kind of disciples we are reveals the kind of Lord we serve. If we serve the Lord, there's two types of words which was used in those days for Lord. The first is just a general aspect for a man which you called Lord. And then the next one is the word the slave used to address his master. It means my owner, the one I belong to you. And that is the word they use of Jesus. He's not just a Lord, somebody you show respect. It is someone who has complete control over your life. You belong to that person. He has bought you as a slave. He controls you and he owns you. But he's not like the worldly masters. Sy juk is sag en sy las is lig. And he comes to redeem us from ourselves. So, Matthew wants to show us what happened to us when God is not with us. And if you understand the literacy, the plain grammatica waarin die taal geskryf, die boek geskryf is, then you will understand the importance of this. So, if you read the book of Matthew, it's not like the other gospels. It is written to all of us. It is written in such a way that we can identify with the people. We can identify with the woman who was an outcast. We can identify with Peter who screwed up. We can identify with the disciple who's quarreling. The disciples are people just like us. They're normal people. They're not supernatural or wonderful people. They're people who tend to make more mistakes than they get it. So there's four important aspects where Jesus is not with his disciples. And there they learn to walk by faith. So the way Jesus taught his disciples, he would teach them things like in the Sermon on the Mount, and then he would send them off on their own. Or he would send them on a boat into a storm and he will be sleeping. Or he sent them into the storm on a boat and he will come to them at night. Or he will go into the mountain to pray and they're on their own. Or he will leave them and he will go pray and he will leave them for a while. And in that time of absence, the disciples really proved to themselves, do they have faith or didn't they have faith? So let us go through this aspects. The first is in chapter 7 verse 24. So then, anyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. So there's two rocks. The one is Peter, the rock, who must become the rock, and the other is Jesus, who is the rock upon whom we must build. So between these two rocks, between Peter, who must become the rock, and he will become a rock if his faith grows strong and he comes to relationship and faith in Jesus the rock. So this whole process is between these two rocks, and he really plays them off. Now we are first introduced to the disciples in chapter 8 verse 26. Why are you so frightened? Jesus answered, how little faith you have. That how little faith is that same word Jesus called his disciple, men of little faith. That is a single word which he used, and he uses it four times in the book of Matthew for his disciples. So the disciples must really understand what does it mean to have faith, because eventually to become a disciple, Jesus will send them and he will leave them. And they must learn how to live without him. But he will be with them in his spirit. But first he trains them and he sends them out on their own. And the first place is Jesus sent them purposefully into a storm. And that is something, that reveals us something about how Christ trains us. He sends them purposefully into a storm, and he was sleeping behind in the boat. Now Jesus did that on purpose because he wanted to teach his disciple how little faith they had. So here's the disciples, and they're in their little boat, and it is in danger of sinking, and Jesus is asleep. Now this is a very important aspect of understanding Christ. Sometimes Christ sends us into a storm to test our faith. And only the storm can test our faith. I mean, our faith cannot be tested when things go well. Faith, in order to be genuine faith, needs to be tested. And this is the first thing. And that is something we as human beings are constantly facing, is will we worry? Will we make out our own salvation? Will we make our own plans? Or will we trust God? Will we trust Jesus? So faith trusts in Jesus for everything, and fools think they are their own providers. That is the first aspect which Jesus taught them in the Sermon on Discipleships. He compares people with faith with people of the world. The world will do this and they will do this, and they worry and they have trouble and they strive. And Jesus said, you must not trust and be like the world. You must trust in me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So now the disciples are being taught. He taught them the lesson. Now remember the following. They just finished their Sermon on the Mount, and they were being taught by how to follow Jesus. Now comes the exam. And they're on the boat and they fail the exam because they failed to trust Jesus in the storm. So Jesus first rebuked them, and then he rebuked the storm. He first tells them, oh, how little faith you have. And then he rebukes the storm. Now see what happens. The wave stopped and there was great calm. Everyone was amazed and said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So Jesus wants to show his lordship. He wants to show his rule over the natural elements to them. And in order to teach them, he sent them into a storm. And first they failed the test. And when they realized they failed the test, Jesus revealed something to them. So it shows us a little bit about the character of Christ and how he works with us. He divinely maneuvers our circumstances to bring us to a place where we realize we cannot save ourselves. And then he saves us and he reveals something new about himself. Jesus is not only the great teacher, he's not only the healer, he also has control over the natural elements. And that is the lesson which the disciples need to learn in this first area. So, their faith starts growing in the midst of the storm. That is the first lesson these disciples need to be taught. So, faith needs to be tested. And in our process of making us disciples, God will send us in circumstances which is unfavorable, where only God can save us. And our faith in God will prove whether Jesus is our Lord or not. And Jesus knows exactly where he's going with his disciples. And that teaches something about our own lives. Sometimes there's storms and Jesus is in the boat with us. And he's sleeping because he really wants us to grow in faith. So you can think of your own life. Sometimes things around you is not good. And God wants to teach you a lesson in order to build your faith. It's never to break you down or never to humiliate you. It's always to build your faith. Because God knows and Christ knows exactly where he's going. So, Jesus was teaching his disciples. And he told them how little faith you have. Now, we go to the next lesson, and that is in chapter 14. In chapter 14, we see the disciples on the boat again. They failed the first test. So, where's the second test? It's on the boat again. And this time, Jesus is not with them. They are on their own in the boat. So Jesus sent them ahead. He just did many miracles. He just fed a crowd. He told them the next sermon on the parables. Taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them about being sent out. And after he teach them, he sent them on the exam. And this time he sends them on their own. So here they are in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, and they're on their own, and suddenly the wind comes up and it's all against them. And now we see something, we see a bit bigger revelation. So they were rowing all night. You can read verse 24. This time the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by the waves because the wind was blowing against it. So just think about the first time, which was just a storm in danger of sinking. Now they were fighting the wind. They were blowing against the wind. And Jesus did that on purpose. It was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Jesus came walking with the disciples. They saw him on the water and they were terrified. It's a ghost, they say. And they scream with fear. Jesus spoke to them at once. First of all, look at Jesus. First of all, he said, courage. First he encourages them. And then a very important aspect, which you might miss, Jesus said, it is I. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament when Jesus revealed himself to Moses, how did God reveal himself to Moses? I am who I am. You remember that in Exodus. Now, this is the exact same phrase. In the Hebrew, it is Heneni, I am who I am. The exact same words Jesus used. I am he. So, one of the many ways which you prove that Jesus is God. Jesus used that same phrase. And now, what does that immediately remind you of? Emmanuel. God is with them. You see the Emmanuel coming in. Jesus is now suddenly with the disciples. And what is the immediate command? Don't be afraid. So, here we can see how Jesus works with people. They're afraid, they're terrified. First he tells them, calm down. I am God. Don't be afraid. Now you see Peter, come. Peter then said, Lord, if it's really you order me to come out to the on the water to you. Jesus said, come. And Peter started walking, and then he noticed the strong winds and was afraid, and he sank down on the water and said, save me. At once Jesus reached out and grabbed hold of him and said, how little faith you had, why did you doubt? That same word, little faith. Hoekom het jy getwyfel? You had revelation from God. I have proven myself. I've just fed 5,000 people yesterday. I've taught you 3 times already. Why did you doubt? Now, something happened. When they got into the boat, the wind died down, and the disciples in the boat worshipped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. First of all, they just realized that Jesus has power over the storm, but now their revelation grew. In the midst of their faith crisis, they come to understanding that Jesus is not just a teacher. He's not somebody who has miraculous power. He's truly the Son of God. So in our crisis, and as we grow in faith, our revelation of God also grows. So now their faith starts growing. So the storm squeezes the faith out of the disciples. Faith is what separates believers from unbelievers. And remember, Jesus wanted to send his disciples into the world with a message of making disciples. So first they need to understand to have faith. They need to understand Emmanuel. They need to understand they cannot do this in their own power. And Jesus continues to have to brought them on their own, where they realize, with my own power, with my own wisdom, we cannot accomplish anything. And he is teaching his disciples these lessons. So the first time Jesus was with them in the boat, sleeping, now Jesus was not with them, but he came walking to them because he wants to reveal himself to us. And that is the nature of Christ. Christ is a God who continues want to give us new revelation. As believers, we can only live on revelation. We cannot live on the law like in the Old Testament. We need a personal relationship with our Father, and having a relationship with our Father, we grew in revelation and we grew in our understanding of who Jesus is. So their faith was growing, but the test was not over yet. There's still two big tests that needs to come. Now, if you turn over to chapter 16, we see a story. Jesus went to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi was not in Israel. Caesarea Philippi was quite far away from Israel. It was the headquarters of the Roman capital in that area. And it was a place of idol worship and a place of lots of idolatry, but it was a very important city. So Jesus was taking these fishermen to the biggest city of his time. And then he asked them, who do the people say I am? The Son of Man is. When they just confessed that he's the Son of God, now Jesus asked, who do the people say? And then they said, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. And then he asked them, who do you say I am? And then Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, good for you, Simon, son of God, son of John. For the truth is, you did not come to you through human being, but was revealed to you by the Father in heaven. Now Jesus introduced revelation to us, on which our church will build. He said, on this rock I will build my church. And it was not referred to Peter as many people was interpreting. He was referring to divine revelation. The church will be built on revelation, not on human wisdom, not in unbelief, but in a personal relationship with God through whom revelation will come. Now, let's listen to Peter. Peter just confessed the biggest confession anyone ever made up to this time in all of history. And then Jesus told them, verse 21, I will go to Jerusalem and will die, and will be put to death, and 3 days later I will raise from death. So Jesus continues and he gives him more revelation. But now look at Peter. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, say, God forbid it, Lord, This must never happen to you. And Jesus told him, get away from me, Satan. You see the nature of us as human beings. The moment we are super spirit filled, lots of divine wisdom, and the next moment we fall in the flesh and we're not willing to take up the cross. And the disciples still haven't got it. The cross is the crux of human religion. We will not accept the cross. We want to be a hero. We want revelation. We want supreme powers. We want all the wonderful things. But the moment we are confessed, when we are confronted with the cross, our flesh stands up. Because we will not accept it. Paul said that is the foolishness of the Greeks. We will not understand how somebody whose God needs to die. We struggle to understand the reality of this. And yes, Peter, the person upon whom will lead the church, he still didn't understand it. He didn't understand the importance of the cross. And now Jesus starts to introduce him. Now if you take the timeline, Jesus is now with the disciples almost 2.5 years. He's taught them, they've seen miracles, and now slowly he introduced them that the Son of Man must die in order to bring salvation. God will be with you, the Spirit will only come if I die. You will only go to the next level if there's a cross. And now the disciples start to shake in their legs. So it becomes a stumbling block. The cross is the stumbling block for all humankind. You either accept the cross or you reject the cross. You either take up your cross or you do not take up your cross. You either disciple who bow before Christ or you do not. And that is the heart of the gospel. And it's very clear right here in the beginning that the cross is the kruispunt. A lot of people follow Jesus, but the moment he died, they all ran away. So we will come to that in just a few seconds. So this is the build up to the third exam. Now the disciples went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they receive a revelation from Elijah and Moses. Now it's very important to understand what is happening here. The Old Testament is called the Law and the Prophets. The Law, Moses, Prophets is Elijah. Now the Law and the Prophets, very important prophetic thing that happens here on the Sermon on the Mount. And they came to Jesus and they talked to him about the things that needs to come. And Jesus' face was shining. Let me just find my words here. Elijah, verse 11. Elijah indeed needs to come first, and I will tell you everything is ready. But I will tell you that Elijah has already come, and the people did not recognize him, but treated him just as they pleased. In the same way, they will also ill-treat the Son of Man. So Jesus was fulfilling the Law and the Prophets. In the sense, the transfiguration needs to take place before the cross. The Son of God needs to be confronted with Moses and the prophets because he needs to fulfill them. We will deal with that a little bit later. How Christ fulfilled the Law and the Prophets. But then something very interesting happened, and that is the third lesson. And that we find in chapter 17 from verse 14. Then they returned to the crowd. A man came to Jesus, knelt before him and said, Sir, have mercy on my son. He is a terrible epileptic and had much terrible attacks and has often fallen in the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. The disciples, they just had a wonderful experience and they couldn't heal a guy. And then Jesus said, how unbelieving and wrong people you are. How long must I stay with you? How long do I need to put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And Jesus gave a command to the demon, and he went out of the boy, and that very moment, and he was healed. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked him, why couldn't we drive out the demon? It is because you didn't have enough faith, Jesus said. Disciples have been with Jesus now for 2.5 years. But they still didn't have faith. And that's a very important lesson we need to understand. And we will only understand that in the next dimension, and that is the era of the Holy Spirit. That faith is a gift from God. That the moment we are on our own and Christ is not with us, we cannot make it. And that is the new era, the new dispensation, or the, whatever you want to call it, where it's the time of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants to introduce and prepare his disciples that in their own power they will just make a mess. Like the Old Testament, you cannot even try to keep the law in your own power. In your own power, you cannot keep the law. You need something else. Your heart needs to change. Your mind needs to change. You need to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So here we see Peter, and we can so much identify. One moment he's in the Spirit, the next moment he makes a mess and he rebukes Jesus and said, "You may not die." Because he still had an earthly political figure in his mind. So, life needs to be lost before it can be taken. Unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Unless the corn falls in the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. So, here we see that. And then, the disciples, the next moment, chapter 18, the disciples came to Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They quarrel among each other, who is the most important? When they just like all of us, they just didn't get it. And then Jesus told them a lot of interesting stories. And then we come to the last test. Let me just find myself again. I remember now chapter 25 is the last lesson about false teachers and the end that needs to come. And then chapter 26. Chapter 26 verse 56. 26:56. But all of this happened in order to make what the prophet wrote in the scriptures come true. Then all the disciples left him and ran away. This is how the gospel actually ends. Where Jesus was at his most difficult time in his life, the disciples abandoned him. And sometimes we miss this because it's just like a short note. But that is something really which the book, Matthew wants to tell us, because when he was one of the disciples. In Christ's biggest time of need, those who were closest to him ran away. And they abandoned him. And if you read through the book, that is the reader of the book who haven't know the story and haven't read the New Testament like us would under, is that the whole disciple making process, isn't it a big mess? Did the disciples really get it? Jesus invested 3 years of his life in these guys, and at the end they all ran away. And that leaves us something about discipleship, which is, we really need to understand that discipleship is not up to us. When here we have Christ, the Son of God, the best teacher in the world, he invested everything in his disciples. They've been taught by him. They demonstrated by him. They saw miracles. They saw Lazarus being raised from the dead. Everything we can dream of, they've experienced. And when the final test of faith came, they ran away. So, in this whole reading of the book of Matthew, we need to understand that discipleship is not up to us. And that's something that we as a church need to understand. There's no measure of success. I mean, if you up to this point you measure Jesus, said, was he successful? I mean, Jesus was not successful in making the disciples of these 12 men, because they abandoned him, they ran away. And Matthew is very clear on this. And the disciples didn't understand the cross. And that is the point which Jesus wanted to taught them. If you do not understand the cross, and if you take the cross out of discipleship, you cannot be a disciple. You cannot be a follower of Christ. And that is a cross of the New Testament. That is a challenge for all of us as followers of Christ. do we really understand the cross of Christ? Because the cross is the mark point between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's in the middle of the ages. Before the cross, there was no salvation. There was law. Now Jesus came. He brought divine revelation. He brought God among us. And at the end, when the before the cross is, there was no followers. And then Matthew takes up and he goes to a very interesting custom of the Middle East and of the Jews, which he clearly wants to tell us. Now, just remember how Jesus came into the world, and I will touch on that when we go to the book of Luke. Jesus was born as a buitenechtelijke kind. He was an illegitimate. His mother was not married to Joseph. And the one reason why Jesus was born in the stable is because the community didn't accept him. The community in which they born, now this woman is have an adulterous relationship, and they cast them out of the city. They didn't allow them. That is why they stayed in the stable. And that is very clear in the context. Now, Jesus came into the world in a shameful way. I mean, for a long time, I mean, we all know society. I mean, they bastard. Jesus was not a very popular child because his parents, he was born before his parents got married. So Jesus grew up as the outcast in the society. In those days, the society was very, very like our platteland. I mean, people didn't accept a person like Jesus as a child. So that's very important for us to understand. I mean, the Bible is very clear about that. Jesus was, John said, he came and his own people did not accept him. I mean, John was knowing what he was talking about. Jesus was not accepted as a child. He was like the outcast in society. He did nothing wrong. He just came to save them. But they didn't accept him. So that is why John is so clear. Now, at the end, the way Jesus died is also a groot skande. I mean, first of all, he was crucified, which was the worst, cruelest form of death. They crucified him naked. And the importance of a person was seen in the size of his funeral. Now Jesus, he didn't have a funeral. He was thrown in another guy's grave. He had a burial of a criminal which was not accepted in society. So very important, there was no funeral. There was no funeral procession. You will remember when Lazarus died, the people came and they mourned for 7 days. Jesus didn't have a funeral like that. He was just, his disciples didn't really understand and know where he was buried. He had a shameful death. There was no ritual for him. Nobody mourned for him. He was just cast into a grave. Only his mother, John, and the stranger was there. Nobody really knows who was at his funeral. I mean, he was just raak nie ontslaaf van hom. He was given the typical barrier of a stranger who died in a country. Nobody cares. Just put him in a grave and let a nice story just end. So, also very interesting, the one moment the whole town accepted him. I mean, just follow with me. Jesus came into the town. Everybody sang songs. The crowd was crazy about him. They sang Hosanna to the Son of David. This crowd was really expectation. The next day, the same crowd gathered and they said, crucify him. I mean, Matthew is very clear on this. And the Bible wants to reveal to us our own hearts in making a disciple. We are constantly have got this challenge between our own flesh and are we really followers of Christ? Are we really disciples of Christ? Is God really with us? And this interplay is really clear in becoming a disciple. And that is the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew seems like a total failure. Jesus... Disciples ran away, the crowd turned against Jesus, he was given a burial of a criminal, and then suddenly there's a change. again on the mountain. Remember this community? Moses came from the mountain and he gave them revelation. Now, the last part, again on the mountain. Jesus met them, verse 16, chapter 28. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus told them to go. So, suddenly there's a change in the book. Jesus came and he said to them, all authority is given to me. And that is the difference. Jesus need to die in order to take up the authority. Jesus taught and they realized that the end of the Sermon on the Mount, this man teaches us with authority, not like the teachers of the law. So Jesus has been following, teaching his disciples. And then suddenly he gave them a command, go to all the nations. And then suddenly the whole book comes to a positive close. Where it all ends. It ends where it all begins. God is with us. So suddenly there's a change, and it is only because God is with us. So Matthew really plays this importance of God be with us, the Emmanuel message. And that is very important to understand, because it's a key that unlocks the whole New Testament to us. Is God really with us? Is he really our Lord? And the answer to that is proven if we are being actively involved in making people disciples. And with all that in mind, Jesus himself didn't really succeed in making disciples, because the Holy Spirit still needs to come. So Matthew introduced all the concepts of the New Testament, all the important things. The church need to be born. The Holy Spirit still need to come on the people. The people need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. All these new concepts still needs to be born, needs to be shown to us. But what kind of person will we be if we don't go through the whole process? If we do not die to ourselves, if we do not take up our cross, if we don't surrender our lives to Jesus, we will be like the disciples. Because when Jesus was not with them, they didn't understand, even though they had revelation from Jesus himself. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 7, and you will really understand that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. When the judgment day comes, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, in your name we spoke God's message. By your name we drove out many demons and performed many miracles. Then I will say to them, I never know you, get away from me, you wicked people. So the end of the day, the judgment day, will reveal two kinds of people. Those who think they have faith but are not faithful, and those that think they are faithful but have no faith. So faith leads us to faithfulness. And we cannot have faith because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So that is the message of the book of Matthew. The student must become the teacher, and the kingdom of heaven must be established on earth. So it's a lot of things to think about. I didn't just want to give you Matthew on a plate. I want you really to think about your own life and really think about discipleship in the manner which Matthew wrote it to us. So, any questions?